It's not about the technology, it is what you do with it. Welcome to Digital Dash. We are excited about the opportunities technology presents in our modern world, and we spend a lot of time tinkering with the use cases. Join us every week on our podcast as we share our findings and break things down into zeros and ones. Subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app, and enjoy this episode.
Earlier this month, we joined Apple for an exclusive event to discover how Apple products are built for the way modern businesses work. On today's podcast, we will explore the use cases that were discussed during the event and how Apple wants to position itself as an enterprise partner to make businesses work more simply and productively while balancing business needs for privacy, security, support, and cost savings. My name is Kwame Na'atha, and I am joined by Selom Donyo.
Yeah.
All right. So the event opened with Apple, you know, waxing political about how they have transitioned to Apple Silicon in all of their enterprise grade devices, and therefore comes with all the benefits of security, stability, reliability, as well as durability.
And optimization, obviously.
And optimization.
Yes.
And they were basically showcasing the reasons why businesses may want to switch from the other guy, as they kept
the other manufacturer.
Referencing. Yes, the other manufacturer to Mac. So I guess we can just quickly run through some of those points. And then after, we can talk about our opinions and our thoughts and what we think this means for businesses going forward. We know very well that Windows and
Windows here after referred to as the other
manufacturer.
OEM, yeah, like the other manufacturer.
So we know very, very well that Windows has been very synonymous to work, right? So chances are, if you go to any office or any organization, you are going to be given a Windows machine, and most of the work is going to be done on Windows.
Windows machine.
But that trend is beginning to switch up a little bit, and we see this Apple event, which is actually the first of its kind, which has happened in Accra.
Yeah.
Organized
by iStore
Ghana, who are an authorized reseller and an authorized service provider.
For
Apple products here in Ghana. Like I mentioned, as time is going on, we are beginning to realize that many new companies, especially in this post-COVID world that we find ourselves in, are beginning to gravitate towards Apple and their products because of the reasons I have mentioned earlier. And so we see, or we think, Apple organizing this event is a step meant to solidify that step that they are beginning to take and encroach in the encroach on Microsoft's market share.
About that, you know, the funny thing that a lot of people actually don't realize about Apple and Microsoft is they tend to forget the third person in the picture. Who I would have said this knee, but it's not knee. We're talking about software in this case. So referring to Linux.
Yeah.
So you may not know it, but Linux is actually the most widespread OS in the business world. A lot of gadgets and devices run Linux, but we actually don't know. From ATMs to POS devices to almost anything you can think of, like elevators, they're all like basically like running some form of a Linux kernel, and which would officially make it like the most business productivity oriented OS. But we tend to forget about them because, you know, they don't have that much going from them in the PR department with the way Apple, for example. I love Apple's PR, by the way. They are doing really well.
Yes, Apple's marketing team is on steroids.
Yes.
Yeah.
We don't have much going for them in terms of PR. So people don't really think about Linux when we talk about OSs or OEMs. It's all about Microsoft versus Apple. But as Kwame reiterated, Apple is trying to you know, solidify their footsteps, especially in Ghana here in West Africa, Africa for that matter, as the software solution of choice for business enterprises. So Kwame, naturally, go on.
So some of the reasons why they want you to choose Mac over Windows, they, DJ Khaled.
You know they don't want you to eat breakfast, so what we're going to do is we're going to eat breakfast.
It's because of their new Apple Silicon. Now, according to Apple, the Apple Silicon changes everything, right? And we have seen the M1, the M1 Pro, the M1 Max, and now the M2. And as a user of an M1 MacBook, I think Apple's claims about the speed and reliability of the Apple Silicon chips are actually very well warranted, because we have, you know, extreme performance, extreme reliability in terms of battery, and extreme compatibility in terms of processes and applications that you will be able to run. Apart from the optimization in productivity, we also realize incredible power efficiency, you know, in the form of very long battery, you know, lives when you are using Apple Silicon machines. Another reason to use Apple at work is because of something that they call zero touch deployment, which essentially means that it doesn't matter whether it's a small startup that has about 5 or 10 devices, or a large multinational that has about 10,000 devices, Apple is going to be able to fit into any company's existing infrastructure. So zero touch deployment will allow any firm's IT department to configure and manage remotely the setup process for any team, so that by the time new joiners or even existing employees who are switching to Apple devices, their MacBooks, iPads, iPhones, and Apple TVs will be configured and ready to go from the start.
It can be easily integrated, I guess.
Yes. Okay. So the integration is really seamless. And apart from, you know, Mac working for companies that have an IT department who, you know, really know what they are doing about security and deployment and infrastructure, it can also work for companies that don't have any IT department, right? So The Mac is very intuitive to set up and very easy to manage. So I think Apple has something called the Migration Assistant that can help you, you know, set up your Mac for work quickly and efficiently, so that you can quickly start working and tracking your orders and your sales and your customer, you know, feedback for resolution later. And then, of course, it would not have been Apple if they hadn't spoken about sustainability and care for the environment.
Yeah, by I saying think it's a buzzword everyone wants to adopt it. Greta Thunberg would be proud.
By saying that in the long, you know, term, Apple is actually going to cost less and going to be more beneficial for the environment, because Apple provides long software support periods, you know, much longer than the competitors, the other guys. And they also make sure that all the software that you need for your company, or should I say most, will also be supported for a much longer period.
Okay.
Now, this is a bit hypocritical, because Apple devices are also very notorious for repairability. So unlike Windows machines, where you can basically just swap the RAM for like a larger RAM if you are giving the machine to a new IT guy, for Apple devices, especially Apple Silicon, you would not be able to do that. You have to literally buy a new device altogether. If a component is damaged, you will not be able to repair it yourself. You would have to actually, you know, take it to an authorized repair shop. And I am very sure that we all know that in Africa, that's really, really scarce. And
actually, at the event, I got to learn that there is no official Apple store in Africa, and that the closest one to Africa is in
Dubai. Yeah,
I was UAE. About to say Dubai.
Yeah, so yeah, so I actually found that that particular point to probably work for other continents, but not really for
Africa.
And when I asked the facilitator, what he said was that, hey, you know, we need to make sure that our devices are secure and safe and durable and all of that. And so that's why most of the components are soldered shut. And to preserve your experience, we want only certified Apple repairers to be able to take a look inside. But I think that there's a lot of room for improvement, especially in that side.
Yeah.
Because I think if the other guy can do it, so can Apple, you know,
can Apple
if they really want to do it.
So early on, to buttress your point about the software updates, I believe the critical thing which most companies moving forward are trying to do of late is that they release some hardware, and over time, the said hardware's abilities are expanded upon via software, you know, updates. So we have further optimization available. You can buy an iPhone or a Mac or any other piece of gadget or gizmo, and you realize that over time you get new and very fancy features. For example, sidecar. Let's say you had an iPad and a Mac or a MacBook prior to like 2018. What you had was essentially two different devices. And for example, if you had some work you are doing on your MacBook, me being a musician or doing music production and stuff, sometimes I have my door open on my computer and I need an additional screen to see extra panels within my door. And what that means is that I have to get another monitor, an external monitor for that. Now, if you're a Mac user, as I said, prior to 2018, all what you'd have would be an iPad and a Mac. But when Sidecar was introduced, it meant that you could have your iPad acting as a second screen for your Mac. So now, instead of having to buy an additional or an external monitor for your Mac, Apple has saved you that cost, that money you would have spent on an external monitor. And you have one hardware device which is fulfilling the needs and capabilities of two. So now you have both an iPad and an external monitor in one. You don't need to make an additional purchase. And I think these are some of the advantages and the power which come with further optimization via software updates. So release hardware and then continually update it with software, which give it new features and expand on the capabilities of the said hardware until it probably goes redundant. And I think at where we are with the computing power we find in most of these devices, you can have a device and for 5, 6, 7 years you could just keep on improving that same device via software updates. And early on you said that Apple gives way longer like software support to their devices than
the other guys.
So
if we could get a dollar for every time the other guy or the other manufacturer
was said at that event. Yeah.
I'm sure we'd have been rich by now.
Yeah, we'd have been able to buy the new iPhone 14. You know, what's it called?
Dynamic Island.
Yeah.
I mean, let's reserve that for
another podcast.
Yes. I think another reason to use Apple at work is also because of Apple's focus on security.
Yes.
And what I like about Apple's execution of security is that it doesn't get in the way of user experience. So you know that security and user experience are always at each other's neck. The more secure something is, the terrible the user experience. And the better the user experience, there may be some security risks when, you know, it is being considered. But Apple finds a way to bridge the gap and meet security and user experience right at the sweet spot.
Yeah.
And so I think you know, with Touch ID and Face ID and the Apple Watch unlock and all of the other features available at your fingertip, you are assured of your security while also having a great user experience. You don't have to remember so many codes, because chances are if your devices are linked to one iCloud account, an SMS message or an OTP received on your phone will automatically pop up on your MacBook for you to just enter and complete, as opposed to you having to check your phone and either type it in or copy and then paste somewhere else. So this is one more compelling reason to want to use it. And this brings us to the main reason why you may want to use Mac for your work. The user experience.
I thought you're actually going to talk about the ecosystem. Since you were talking about an OTP popping up on my Apple Watch, could pop up on my Mac, on my iPad,
Yeah, their user experience it's actually enabled by the ecosystem, because you are able to receive a call either on your MacBook or on your iMac or on your iPad or your iPhone or even your Apple Watch, means that you don't necessarily have to, you know, scramble to get another device to complete your work. The fact that there is handover and continuity means that you can start typing something on your MacBook, and then when you get to your office, you can just switch to your iMac and you can continue right from where you left off.
Isn't this just a ploy to get you to buy all their devices and give them all your money?
Exactly. That is their purpose, right? And I think once it is executed well, we just have to shut up and give them our money.
Okay, on that note, I'm going to withdraw my rent.
Yeah, so I think we would want to conclude on the fact that I am actually very happy that this event has happened. It's the first of its kind in the country, like I mentioned. So I hope this will be the first of many of such interactions and engagements. And also, like Selam mentioned earlier, there's no official Apple, you know, retail store anywhere on the continent. Mm. Meanwhile, many Africans spend top dollar purchasing Apple devices and ensuring that they are, you know, in warranty and getting the needed support that they require. So Apple should at least, you know, have some presence in South Africa or Nigeria.
Yeah, which to start with, two of Africa's like largest economies.
Exactly, to start with, and then slowly expand to cover the whole continent. I know that a company like Samsung is able to make all of its devices available in the country on the day of global launch.
Yeah.
But that same thing cannot be said for Apple.
Yeah.
And as people who are spending so much money, you know, given the exchange rate and given the state of the economy, I think the least Apple can do is to consider, you know, making these devices available, yes, on launch day. I don't think it would take too much from Apple to be able to do so. But yes, this is a step in the right direction, and we are hoping for more close collaboration in future.
So there are a lot of interesting things I noted at the event, and I think the speakers duly acknowledged all of these concerns which the audience gave, and I know Apple is going to have a look at all these things, going to relay to them actually, and I'm looking forward to an increased adoption of Apple-powered devices in Ghana and Africa for that matter. So if you've been listening to us, we have been your hosts. I am Selam Donyo, and you've been hosted by
Kwamina
Arthur. And this is a Digital Dash podcast by AFD Tech Talk. It's been a while since we did this. You know, I feel a little bit like nostalgic being behind the mic and with headphones on. And I'm actually happy to see Kwamina once again in the same boat with me doing a podcast. So if you loved this episode, you could subscribe to us in your podcast app. You could follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Digital Dash. So the dash has an underscore D underscore SH. So Digital Dash D underscore SH. You could follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and you could also subscribe to us in your favorite podcast app and share the link.
Share the link. Share the link. Share the link.
share the link for other tech newcrats like yourself listening right now to also, you know, get to consume the stuff that we produce. Until the next podcast, it's ciao, bye,
peace.